Hello, it is Monday, the 20th of July. Welcome to Korea 24. I'm your host, Andrew Jung. Efforts to put out a major fire at a Coupang logistics center in Incheon continued for the third day as flammable items at the site interfered with firefighting efforts. More on that in today's news briefing. In our in-depth news analysis, we talk about the recent rate hike at the Bank of Korea and why leveraged ETFs could be behind the volatility in South Korea's stock market. Plus, in our sports roundup, we discuss the return of Korean baseball and some football news. All that and more on Korea 24. Efforts to put out a major fire at a Coupang logistics center in Incheon continued for the third day. The fire, which started on the sixth floor of the logistics center around 7 a.m. Saturday, has spread to the seventh floor. Firefighting efforts are being prolonged primarily due to the presence of flammable items at the location and an intricate structure inside the building. For more on the blaze and other major headlines of the day, we have in the studio with us Deputy Editor-in-Chief of KBS World's English News Service, Kim In-kyung. Hello, In-kyung.
Hello, Andrew.
What is the current status of the fire at the Coupang Logistics Center in Incheon, and what specific challenges have been reported?
Well, more than 60 hours have passed since the fire broke out, but firefighters have yet to contain the blaze. The city's fire authority said Monday that they have no plans to send firefighters into the building due to the large amount of flammable material and the complex shelving structure. Authorities are focusing instead on stopping the fire from spreading to the fifth floor, saying the flames could spread quickly throughout the building if the fifth floor becomes compromised, as it houses hundreds of robots that run on lithium batteries for logistics warehouse chores. Incheon's Seohae district is keeping in place an evacuation order issued at 11 p.m. Sunday for commercial buildings and factories within a 116-meter radius of the logistics center. Nearly 170 people in nearby residential areas have fallen voluntarily evacuated to two temporary shelters to avoid smoke and dust. Due to ongoing smoke and toxic gas emissions, the district advised 31 nearby daycare centers to close on Monday, though only 14 followed the recommendation.
In other headlines, the 48th session of the UNESCO World Heritage Committee is underway in the southern port city of Busan. This is the first time South Korea is hosting the committee since it joined the World Heritage Convention in 1988. What can we expect from the session?
Approximately 3,000 delegates from 150 countries will deliberate on selecting new World Heritage sites at the session, which officially kicked off on Sunday. The committee is deliberating on a total of 30 new natural and cultural site nominations, including proposals to recognize several high-profile historical, geopolitical, and environmental landmarks. One of them is the Palestinian town of Sebasha, an ancient biblical and archaeological site in the West Bank that is being fast-tracked for protection on an emergency basis. Lebanon's Mount Amel castles are also being reviewed under emergency protocols to safeguard them from modern warfare. The ancient capitals of Asuka and Fujiwara in Japan, which contain deep historical traces of cultural, political, and architectural exchanges with the Korean Peninsula, another candidate.
What are some of the issues that South Korean delegates are focusing on?
The UNESCO World Heritage Committee recently advised Japan to properly mention the forced mobilization of Korean workers in the Sado mine. Japan had promised to mention the, quote, entire history of the mine when it was registered as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, including the history of Koreans being forced to work there during Japan's colonial rule of Korea. But exhibition materials have lacked acknowledgement of that fact. Delegates from South Korea will be watching closely as representatives discuss the matter. South Korea has also proposed adding Seosan, Muan, Gohung, and Yeosu to the country's list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites, tidal flats, which was inscribed in 2021. It'll wait to see if the expansion is approved. Thirdly, South Korea is pushing for the formal adoption of the Busan Declaration, seeking to add collaboration to UNESCO's five existing strategic objectives known as the five C's: credibility, conservation, capacity building, communication, and communities.
In economic news, the KOSPI lost nearly 4.5% on Monday amid soured investor sentiment in the artificial intelligence industry and fresh tensions between the U.S. and run. Can you sum up the market for us?
Sure. The Kospi plunged 304.33 points, or 4.46%, to close at 6,516.27. The index dipped below the 6,500 mark at one point, prompting a sell-side sidecar this morning. Sidecars, which suspends program orders for 5 minutes, have been activated on the Kospi market on 38 occasions so far this year, and 20 of those were sell-side sidecars. So you can imagine how volatile the Kospi has been this year. The Kospi plunged as investor sentiment failed to recover due to concerns that semiconductor stocks had peaked and fears that recent conflicts between the U.S. and Iran could develop into a full-scale war after three U.S. servicemen were killed in such conflicts last week. Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, which together make up about half of the Kospi's market capitalization, each dropped more than 4% today.
Turning to the National Assembly, the ruling Democratic Party has introduced a revision bill to extend the investigation period of a special counsel probe into corruption and irregularities under the Yoon Suk-yeol government and his 2024 martial law declaration. Tell us more, Inyo.
Sure. The ruling party introduced a bill to extend the investigation period by an additional 30 days at a plenary session on Monday. If passed, the bill would extend the probe deadline from July 24th to August 23rd. It would also add alleged obstruction of audits by public officials as a subject of investigation, increase the number of dispatched government officials for the probe team from 130 to 150, and appoint attorneys to maintain the prosecution of cases indicted by the special counsel. The People Power Party immediately launched a filibuster protesting that the bill is aimed at suppressing the opposition. But under South Korean law, a filibuster may be terminated with the consent of three-fifths of lawmakers after 24 hours. So the bill is expected to be put to a vote and pass on Tuesday.
Finally, the Education Ministry will launch a pilot program for the so-called smartphone-free schools from the second semester, restricting students from using smartphones throughout the school day. Can you tell us more?
Well, legislation banning smartphone use during classes has been in place since March, but the government decided to introduce the pilot program after criticism emerged that the revision had limited impact because restrictions outside class hours were left to individual schools. The Education Ministry said on Monday that it will designate 200 elementary, middle, and high schools nationwide in September as pilot schools focused on preventing school violence and related issues. The smartphone-free school initiative will be adopted by schools selected as a key project. Under the pilot program, students at participating schools will be prohibited from using smartphones from the time they arrive at school until they leave for the day. The ministry plans to expand the program to 400 schools next year. The ministry said the measure is aimed at addressing excessive smartphone use, which it says undermines learning and contributes to cyberbullying.
That's it for today's news briefing. Thank you, Inga.
Thank you, Andrew.
Wait a percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java.
I'm Barista Omburam and the winner of the 2023 World Barista Championship. You are now listening to Korea 24 on KBS World Radio.
I said those rich booty beans.
South Korea's central bank raised its benchmark policy rate by a quarter percentage point from 2.5% to 2.75% in the first hike since January 2023. The Bank of Korea's Monetary Policy Board reached the decision last Thursday in an effort to tackle inflation, driven by the ongoing violence in Iran and a boom in South Korea's semiconductor exports. Meanwhile, the country's top financial regulator unveiled measures to curb risks from single-stock leveraged exchange-traded funds, seeking to stabilize a local stock market that has seen wild swings. The measures include raising the minimum cash deposit requirement for trading leveraged ETFs to 30 million won and increasing the minimum trading unit to 20 shares. To take a closer look at these issues and more, we have joining us on the line economics professor Yang Jun-seok from the Catholic University of Korea. Hello, Professor Yang.
Hello.
The Bank of Korea last week raised the benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points from 2.5% to 2.75%, the first rate hike in 3.5 years. All seven members of the Monetary Policy Board supported the rate hike. What's your take on the BOK's latest rate decision?
Okay, well, the rate increase, I think you can argue that it was somewhat late and somewhat not enough. And with hindsight, you can argue that BOK should have raised the rates back in May. But realistically, I don't think that was possible. So this is the earliest time that the BOK could have raised the rates. I personally wish it would have raised the rates higher, but I'll settle for what we can get. If you look at the reason for the hike, inflation is important, but not perhaps the most important reason why the BOK raised the rates. So let's look at the reason for the rate hike. First, I think it was is that the Korean economy right now has too much liquidity, too much money lying out there. It has led to a very high stock prices, not only high stock prices, but volatile stock prices. And in addition, the housing prices are currently rising. And the second reason, the rising stock prices, as well as the rising housing prices, seem to be driven by rising household and private debt. Now, having a rising asset prices rising rapidly, as well as household debt and private debt increasing rapidly, that's a bad combination. Mm-hmm. It can lead to weakness in the soundness of the financial sector. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but at the worst case scenario, financial crisis is not completely out of the picture. And then third reason, the Korean won is still very weak. And part of the reason is that U.S. rates, interest rates are higher than the Korean interest rates. And U.S. is expected to raise interest rates sometime this year as well. So Korea needs to maintain or reduce the interest rate gap between Korea and the U.S. And of course, the fourth reason is inflation. The June inflation rate, looking at the last 12 months, was 3.2% for headline inflation, 2.5% for core inflation, both of which are above the Bank of Korea's target of 2%. The month-to-month inflation has gone down substantially, but the manufactured goods prices have gone up by 4.4% in the last 12 months, 0.3% in the last month. So at least that component, we still see a potential for rising inflation. So the cure for all this is raising the inflation rate. We were worried that perhaps that will cost us job creation or cost us growth rates. But right now, the growth rate seems to be incredibly strong. The BOK's last growth projection for this year was 2.6%. That's actually on the lower end. KDI and government estimates it at 2.7%. And some international investment banks are estimating 3% or higher. If anything, the Korean economy, at least overall, you can argue that some of the sectors are not doing so well, but overall, you can argue that Korean economy actually may become overheated. Now, as I said, raising the rates before was realistically impossible. That's because back in May, Governor Shin Yeon-jung was, it was his first meeting to the Monetary Policy Committee, as well as elections coming up in just a couple of weeks after the meeting. So it would be, while it may have been economic theory-wise sound to raise the rates back then, politically it was impossible. And if we wanted to raise the rates even before then, say in April, well, we were still unsure about what would happen to the real economy and the stock market in April, because it was the beginning phase of the Iran war. So realistically, this was the first opportunity that the Bank of Korea had to raise rates. But because the situation is changing so quickly, they might be too late.
I think it was pretty clear that the Bank of Korea was going to raise rates this time around. It was just a question of when. The central bank and its governor, Shin Hyun-sung, has said that it might be necessary to maintain a tight monetary policy to keep inflation in check, signaling another potential hike in the not-too-distant future. Market analysts expect the BOK to keep its benchmark interest rate unchanged in August before delivering another increase in October. Professor Yang, what is your outlook on the rate hikes for the remainder of the year? And do you expect to see more rate hikes? And if so, how many rate jumps do you foresee?
Okay, well, the majority opinion is that Korea will raise the rates twice this year, 25 BP at a time. We raised it once, so that means one more rate increase sometime in the future. My personal preference, though, is that they raised it once last week. So my personal preference would be raise it once more in August and then raise it once in the fourth quarter. And that's because, as I said, one of the biggest reasons for the rate increase is too much liquidity. The stock market and the housing prices and household debt is rising too quickly. And I'm not sure if 25 basis points is enough to keep check that, to slow it down. I think you will need more than 25 basis points, perhaps more than 50 basis points. I'm not even sure 75 is enough, personally, to be frank. But I'm not sure if the other Korean industries can handle more than 75 basis points. Having said that, though, the entire situation may change if the stock market stock prices increase stops or slows down substantially. We're seeing a lot of volatility in the stock market. So if the stock market stabilizes, then we may not need additional interest rate increases. But as long as the stock market is rising at an incredible pace, I think we're going to need certainly more than one interest rate increase and perhaps maybe as many as three or even more.
While we're on the topic of the Bank of Korea, the central bank has warned that the semiconductor boom presents a risk of, quote, Dutch disease. In a report published Sunday, the central bank raised the possibility that the chip industry could erode the foundations of the country's other industries by drawing away human resources and investment. Professor Yang, tell us what Dutch disease is and how you view the Bank of Korea's warning.
Okay, well, I agree with the Bank of Korea in sentiment. I'm not sure if I agree with the use of the wording Dutch disease, because Dutch disease usually works through exchange rates. So the textbook explanation of the Dutch disease is that a country has one very strong exporting industry. In the case of Netherlands, where the term Dutch disease came from, it was 1960s when Netherlands found oil in the nearby coast of the Netherlands. The international demand for oil in Netherlands went up, and because they had to buy the oil in Dutch guilder, the guilder became very strong. And because of that, the other Dutch industries lost their price competitiveness when it was denominated in U.S. dollars because their currency became so strong. So in the end, while the oil industry continued to do well, other industries collapsed. They could not export because they lost their dollar price competitiveness. Now, in case of Korea, the semiconductors obviously are doing very well, but the Korean won is weakening because what's happening in the stock market where foreign investors are selling off Korean stock. So in terms of Dutch disease and foreign exchange rates, Korea is acting the opposite way. It should strengthen, but it's weakening. And actually, there's a lot of foreign, international foreign exchange traders who are very shocked by what is happening with the Korean won. It should be strengthening, but it's weakening. But still, because semiconductors are taking so much attention, they're drawing in all the physical investment. The government has promised them lots of infrastructure investment. People are just looking at investing in semiconductor sector and nowhere else. Other sectors in Korea are not doing well. Exports, while there's a mixed performance between various different industries, overall exports are nowhere near the growth rate of the semiconductor industry. So as I said, I do agree with the sentiment of the Bank of Korea, which feels that there's a potential for semiconductor industry to just overwhelm everything else. But I'm not sure if the Dutch disease, which specifies that Korean won should be strengthening, is the correct technical explanation.
Mm. There is, of course, another unexpected side effect from the semiconductor boom, other than the weakening Korean won. Financial regulators have proposed new measures on leveraged exchange-traded funds, also known as ETFs, to enhance market stability and protect investors amid recent market volatility, with a topic that Professor Yang has been mentioning a lot so far. The measures include raising the minimum deposit for a single stock leveraged ETF to 30 million won, or approximately $20,000 in cash. The minimum trading unit will also be expanded to 20 shares, a change expected to reduce trading volume of the products. Leveraged ETFs, which were introduced in May this year, aim to multiply the daily returns of their underlying stocks, typically by a factor of two. Professor Yang, could you fill us in on how these ETFs are affecting the stock market and how effective you think that these measures could help curb market volatility?
Okay, well, we need to start with an explanation of what ETF exchange traded funds are. So let's just start with the regular ETF, not a leveraged ETF. ETF is an investment fund that's traded over the counter, so it's very easy to buy or sell. And then the original intent of ETF is that you want to diversify your investment. You want to buy a variety of different stocks. But if you want to buy a variety of different stocks for a normal, middle-class income investor, that's going to be too expensive. It's very expensive to buy one of everything or weighted number of stocks that reflect, say, the KOSPI or S&P index. So what these funds do is that they buy the stocks for you, and they establish the funds, and then you can buy a share in that fund, so you can indirectly diversify your investment into the entire stock market or a wide range of stocks. So that's the original intent. Now, you have what's a single company ETF. So instead of buying a variety of different stocks, you only buy a stock of one company, or a very small number of companies. So Korea now offers, say, ETF in aerospace and space industries, which sometimes only consists of two or three stocks, like Hanwha and SpaceX. Now, that is, of course, more vulnerable to changes in the market. And then you have leveraged ETFs. Now, leveraged ETFs are designed using derivatives, financial derivatives like options, futures, swaps, and that's designed to give you twice the returns of the market return. So if the market return is 5%, then if you use a leveraged ETF, you'll get 10% returns. But the other side is that if you have 5% loss in the market, you will have 10% loss in the leveraged ETFs. And because these are built with derivatives, you have to settle these derivative accounts. And that leads to changes not only in the derivative market, but in the current stock market, or what we call the spot market. Sometimes people can use the difference between the derivative market and the spot market for their advantage. Bank of Korea, when they intervene in the Korean won US dollar market, they often use what do you call NDFs, which are a form of derivatives, to have maximum effect on the exchange rate using the minimal amount of money. But in this case, it's sort of working against market stability, because if you invest in these leveraged ETFs using derivatives, that will have a crossover effect on the spot market as well as the derivative market, which is greater than what you would have if you were not using derivatives. And that's the one, not only is it more risky for the investor, but it's turning out to be causing more volatility in the stock market as well. It should only affect Samsung and Hynix stock, because these two companies now form 50% or more of the KOSPI market, it's affecting the whole KOSPI index as well. And then you have the so-called double leveraged ETFs, where you borrow money and buy leveraged ETF on the margin. So depending on the margin call rate, your margin call rate is, say, 10%, and if your stock loses, or your ETF, leveraged ETF loses 10%, you lose your entire investment. People are investing in a very risky manner, very dangerous manner. You see these type of dangerous investments when everybody's convinced that market is just going to go up and up and up. But we've seen a lot of volatility in the last 2 weeks. Partially, that's because of these leverage ETFs. But I think people are now realizing that using these tools are very, very risky. And the way that the volatility is acting now, you can lose your entire investment in just one or two bad days. So now, will the government policies work? Well, the government policies seem to be designed to reduce the number of people who are investing in leveraged ETFs. But what's going to be important is the volume rather than the number of people. And in fact, by imposing these tougher standards, you're actually pricing out perhaps investments by middle class or lower income investors. So they may not feel very good about that. They may be they may complain that they're getting shut off from earning fairly easy returns on investment. So they will have to monitor the market to make sure that volume decreases rather than the number of investors in leveraged ETFs.
So the question would be, is this irrational exuberance, or is this just investors raking in the money? That was Professor Yang Jun-suk from the Catholic University of Korea. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Korea 24 Stock Market Update. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index plunged 304.33 points, or 4.46%, on Monday to close at 6,516.27. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ lost 42.20 points, or 5.33%, to close at 749.64. You can check Korean stock market updates at world.kbs.co.kr.
Shoes on, get up in the mock up a million.
Next, we have Korea Trending. For this part of the show, we check out some of the most viewed stories and issues covered by Korean news outlets handpicked by the Korea 24 team. And we are starting today with the sounds of BTS performing at the FIFA World Cup on Sunday. For that and more stories, we are joined by Daniel Che. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Andrew.
Let's start things off with the historic performance by BTS. What do you have, Dan?
The World Cup has come to an end with Spain lifting the trophy with a 1-0 win over Argentina. Before the final whistle blew and a champion is crowned, a historic event was held during midpoint of the match, the first ever World Cup halftime show, and BTS was one of the shining stars on stage. Over in the U.S. at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey on Sunday local time, BTS performed as the second in the lineup of artists that included legends like Madonna, who was joined by Brazilian football legends Ronaldinho and Ronaldo, as well as Shakira and Justin Bieber. BTS performed their hit song Dynamite and dazzled spectators for nearly 2 minutes.
The show was quite amazing to the folks who already saw it. Tell us what the show was like and if BTS had prepared anything extra special in celebration of the World Cup.
They sure did. They were dressed in outfits that prominently featured the color red, representing the official Korean football team cheering group. Even the backup dancers all wore red. Some members were donning number 7 to salute team captain Son Heung-min. The boys even changed the lyrics a bit to mark the occasion. The Lions kicked the drum, being converted to kick the ball.
I've watched Super Bowl halftime shows, NBA championship halftime shows. You did mention, however, that this was the first time ever a halftime show is being held in the World Cup. Was it all smooth sailing, and has the response been positive so far?
Well, the event benchmarks the NFL or the American Football League's halftime show that became a major event that fans look forward to every year, fans and advertisers alike. But there were initially some voices of concerns and also opposition, as the World Cup halftime is about 15 minutes long and the event could easily exceed that length. That's something that could negatively affect players' performance. On the bright side, the stars and staff work hard to make sure they don't overrun and successfully wrapped up the performances in 11 minutes. However, if you include the time for preparations and cleanup, total it took about 27 minutes overall.
So there's a reason why there's no halftime shows in the MLB, for example. I've been vaguely told of at least one more Korean star who was at the World Cup's final event. Who was this other Korean star?
That star is Jung Ho-yeon of Squid Game fame, who stars in the recently opened blockbuster Hope. She became the first South Korean actor to participate in a World Cup final ceremony. She carried the World Cup trophy in a specially designed case onto the field and unveiled it. It's the so-called trophy trunk ceremony held before kickoff of the final match. Chung serves as a global ambassador for the designer label that produces the trophy case.
I think I'm both glad and sad that the World Cup is over, but let's now move on to our next story. What do you have, Dan?
The owner of a Michelin two-star restaurant seems set to spend some time in jail for allegedly using ants in dishes served.
Ants in your food. That almost sounds like an exotic dish, but what happened?
So on Monday, the Seoul Western District Court held the first hearing for the restaurant owner, who was indicted for allegedly using ants not approved for human consumption in dishes here in Korea and faces charges of violating the Food Sanitation Act. Prosecutors have sought a 1-year prison sentence for the owner and are also seeking 20 million won or $13,500 in fines for the restaurant's corporate entity. The court is set to deliver its ruling on September 2nd.
For how long has this restaurant been serving ants in their dishes?
The restaurant owner and the company are accused of importing dried ant products from the United States and Thailand since 2021 and using them as toppings for certain dishes for about 4 years. Prosecutors said the restaurant sold ant-based sorbet more than 12,000 times, generating about 120 million won or over $80,000 in profit, and estimated that roughly 49,000 ants were used.
There are, of course, two sides to every story, so we have to listen to the other side. What has the restaurant owner said?
The owner and the company admitted to most of the charges, but disputed the prosecution's estimations. Their lawyer argued that it was served only to customers who agreed to receive them and emphasized that such ingredients are widely being used in restaurants around the world, including those in Denmark, Australia, and the UK. The owner did apologize in a final statement, saying the failure to fully understand South Korea's food regulations was the restaurant's fault.
I'm not an ant guy. I don't know about you, Dan, but hoping there will be a smooth resolution to the case there. But now to our final story.
Man versus machine, any match that pits humans against AI instantly grabs global attention. In a recent paduk or go competition against such a foe on Sunday, South Korea's top-ranked go player Shin Jin-seo was victorious.
I remember the Go game between AI and Isedol more than a decade ago, but for those who may not be familiar with the AI that Shin Jin-seo is up against, Dan, can you help us get a better grasp of the competition?
Sure thing. The artificial intelligence program named KataGo was undefeated up to that point, even beating Shin in a match prior. However, in the second of the three-match series held in Seoul, the 26-year-old Korean star player clinched a 4.5-point victory, becoming the first-ever human Go player to deal a humbling defeat to this ultimate Go-playing machine.
And how was Shin Jin-seo able to bounce back after the initial defeat?
Well, beating KataGo, considered by many to be the world's strongest Go AI program, seemed like a very tall order. In the opening match on Friday, even with a two-stone head start, Shin was caught off guard by an unexpected move early into the match. Shin turned the tide, though, in Game 2, which was a grueling duel that lasted 5 hours by leading the AI into a large-scale opening and gaining the upper hand in a central fight.
You mentioned a two-stone head start. Now, how much of a handicap is that for the AI opponent?
So under the handicap rule, the human player is given an estimated 18-point lead in the form of two stones at the start of each game. However, KataGo had remained undefeated in numerous unofficial matches against pro players, even with two extra stones. Some even lost to the AI, even after starting with four stones ahead.
Now it is dead even at one win apiece. Do we have some predictions on who will win the next round?
Like you mentioned earlier, the match made many look back and think back to Isedol's historic Game 5 series, historic five-game series, rather, against AlphaGo in 2016. He finally prevailed after losing three matches, but then the AI made adjustments and he lost again in the final match. So based on that track record, KataGo may quickly adapt and evolve and come back stronger than ever in the next match. But the fact that Shin beat a much more advanced AI Go program shows this series cannot be directly compared to the outcome of the E versus Alpha Go match, as AI technology has advanced significantly over the past decade. Shin is, however, brimming with confidence. He vowed to win even bigger in the next round when he faces KataGo in the final match come Tuesday.
Good luck to Shin Jin-seo, but that's all we have for today's edition of Korea Trending. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I'm violinist Randall Goosby, and you are listening to Korea 24 on KBS World Radio.
Time now for Sports Roundup, your weekly look at all the action from the big wins and tough losses to the stories on and off the field. Joining us now on the line to help us do that is Yoo Ji-ho, the sports writer for Yonhap News. Gio, great to have you here again on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here too.
Before we dive into Korean sports, I think we have to address the elephant in the room. Spain defeated Argentina in the World Cup final 1-0. Gio, give us a quick roundup of the game, and I have to ask, was this Lionel Messi's last international game?
Yeah, so I was up 4 a.m. watching this, the last match of the World Cup this year. Was a very, very tense, very physical, at times chippy final with Argentina going down a man during the match, and Spain just putting on a defensive clinic, not giving up a shot attempt until well into the second half. Argentina, in fact, didn't have a shot on target. So, Leo Messi, as good as he's been in the tournament, did not have a great final. Was this the last one for him? Perhaps. He's 39 years old. He was the oldest outfield player to start a World Cup final. He's the only player to start three World Cup finals. He was a runner-up this year and back in 2014. Of course, won it all back in 2022. Obviously, it would have been nice. It would have been a really great swan song for him to go out on top as a world champion, back-to-back world champion. But it wasn't meant to be. But, you know, I think his legacy was already secure with or without another World Cup trophy. So, you know, he's already won it. If he hadn't won it 4 years ago and came up short again this time, I think it would have broken a lot more hearts, but he already won it, so I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say he's reached the legend status long ago. Now we go to local sporting action. Specifically, we want to now talk about Korean baseball, because of which I had a very tough time last week. I think I lost the will to watch baseball by Sunday. The second half of the KBO season is now underway, and the KT Wiz in Suwon have surged to second place after sweeping the LG Twins in their four-game series coming out of the All-Star break. Gio, give us a roundup of that series and the latest in Korean baseball.
Yeah, so it was a tough week, I would say, for the LG Twins fans out there. You know, the Wiz, they were in third place before the All-Star break a couple of weeks ago. 3.5 games behind second place, the LG Twins. And then the Wiz swept the Twins in their four-game series coming out of the midseason break. Now find themselves ranked second, two games back of the league-leading Samsung Lions. Now, the Wiz will open the new week with a three-game series at home at KT Wiz Park in Suwon against fifth-place Doosan Bears, 1-3 straight. And then the Wiz will then next play the Lotte Giants on the road in Busan. So the last time Wiz were in first place alone, way back on May 17th. Now, the Twins, they're going to try to snap their season-worst five-game losing skid against a pair of teams that are struggling also. The Hanwha Eagles and NC Dinos, they've both dropped the three straight games. In the meantime, the Samsung Lions, they're going to be sold the whole week. Three games against the Kiwoom Heroes at the Gocheok Skydome, and then three more against the Doosan Bears at Chamsil Baseball Stadium.
The Twins, of course, were leading the league just the day before the All-Star break. It seems so long ago, but that was just last week. They've fallen now to two and a half games out of the top spot. What's been the main problem there for the defending champions?
Well, they're just not scoring enough. You know, their offense has gone cold. You know, while getting swept by the Wiz, they scored just seven times. They did hit four home runs. A lot of them were solo shots. And, you know, those four games, they batted only 0-69 with runners in scoring position. You know, the manager, Yum Kyung-yup, shuffled his lineup dramatically for the series finale on Sunday. It did not work to his favor. Their team slugging percentage is just 355, and their OPS, on-base plus slugging, 660 during their current slide. So that's, you know, I mean, just to put that in perspective, that's really, really bad. You know, Austin Dean is doing the heavy lifting, the slugging first baseman having an MVP-worthy season, but he's going to need some help at some point. He's not been getting that up and down the lineup lately.
He's going to need a lot of help, according to what we've been seeing the last few days. Earnestly hoping for improvement in my Twins offense, but we now go to football news again. Korean superstar Son Heung-min finally scored his first goal of the Major League Soccer season over the weekend. It came in LAFC's derby win over the LA Galaxy. Gio, tell us more.
Yeah, so they call it El Tráfico. The two LA clubs squared off on Friday, local time out in LA, or Carson, California, to be exact. And Son Heung-min's goal rounded out the scoring for a 3-0 win for LAFC. Now, he had only two goals all season, both of them having come during the CONCACAF Champions League Cup tournament, and none of them in MLS play, although he was leading the league with 9 assists. So finally got off the schneid a dozen minutes into the second half, finishing from just outside the box. And he said afterward, he got a mental reset after spending some quality time back home with some quality people. That included his birthday back on July the 8th. And so he went back to LA refreshed and ready to go. So this is his first LA Derby as well. You know, he joined the team August last year. He didn't actually face LA Galaxy the rest of the way, But he's no stranger to the derbies from his club days in Germany and England. He said it was a pretty special experience for him to go up against another LA team.
We have more football news. The National Assembly's Committee on Sports has delayed its hearing on the Korea Football Association to later this month. What's the latest on this front?
Yeah, so the committee had been scheduled to hold the hearing Wednesday this week, but last week it was pushed to July 30th. Lawmakers of the main opposition People Power Party, or PPP, boycotted the scheduling and formation of the committee, but the ruling Democratic Party pushed ahead only to postpone it just a few days later. PPP lawmakers, they're unlikely to participate at this juncture because they're not pleased with the way DP has been running the show. The committee, if it goes ahead, they plan to look into the management of the KFA and the process of appointing the former head coach of the national team, Hong Myung-bo, back in July 2024. Of course, Hong resigned at the end of June following Korea's elimination from the group stage at the World Cup. Former KFA president Chung Mong-gyu, who also resigned after the World Cup, is among 13 witnesses to be called in to answer questions from the lawmakers.
In other sports, Korean sprinter Jol Jin Noamadi posted the second fastest time in the men's 100 meters over the weekend, elevating hope for a medal at the upcoming Asian Games. Gio, tell us more about this young athlete's record.
Sure. Well, Jol Jin Noamadi clocked 10.13 seconds to win the men's 100-meter race in Niigata, Japan on Sunday. He tied his national teammate and rival, BUSA Daniel Kashima, for the second fastest time in Korea in that distance, men's 100. Noamadi's previous personal best was 10.16. Kashima set his record back in April this year. And Noamadi, who was born to a Korean mother and Nigerian father, is only 20 years old, but he's been improving at a really, really impressive rate. He went from he's actually broken personal best a couple of times this year already. 10.23 in April and 10.16 earlier this month, and now 10.13. Now, Kashima himself clocked 10.15 in the same race on Sunday to finish second. Mm. The national record, that's 10.07. So no Korean has actually broken the 10-second barrier. But national record 10.07 was set by Kim Gu-kyung. It has stood for 9 years now.
So it's not that long ago, but it is quite some time ago. Wishing a bright future, nevertheless, to Mr. Noamadi. But we now move on to golf, where Kim Si-woo was in contention for his first major title at the Open Championship in England, but instead settled for sixth place. It was, of course, still his best finish at a major tournament. Gio, give us the details of Mr. Kim's performance.
Yeah, sure. Well, Kim Si-woo started the final round just two shots off the lead. He even held a one-stroke lead after making two birdies on the front nine. But he made four bogeys coming home at Royal Birkdale Golf Club, finishing in a tie for sixth place at six under par, 274, finishing four shots behind Ryan Fox, the champion from New Zealand. For Kim, it was just his second top 10 finish at a major in his career. He's been among the most consistent players on the tour this year. He leads the entire PGA Tour with 357 birdies and 10 top 10 finishes. He rose to number 18 in the world rankings. That matches his career high position set in June this year. So by far, he's having the best season of his career. Just doesn't have a victory, major or otherwise. Obviously, a major victory would have been really nice icing on the cake. But, the major season is done. This is the final major of the year. Hopefully he will come back and then try to maybe contend next year again.
Well, being 18th best in anything in the world is quite an achievement, I would say. But wishing further good luck to Mr. Kim. But that's now it for today's sports roundup. That was Yoo Ji-ho, the sports writer for Yonhap News. Thank you, Gio.
Okay, thanks for having me.
And this is where we wrap up today's show. Again, you can always listen to Korea 24 on various apps, KBS Kong, KBS World Radio, and KBS World Radio on air at 7:10 p.m. Korea Standard Time every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow. I've been your host, Andrew Jung. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.